Good morning, how we doing?
Good
to see you this morning. Want to say happy Father's Day to the dads that are here with us today. We're going to see a father's love from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. It's the story of the prodigal son. And what I'd like to do this morning is just kind of look at it from a father's perspective and then learn some things that we should do as dads. Read this story this past week. Bud Welch was indirectly one of the victims of the bomb that destroyed the federal building in Oklahoma City in April of 1995. His 23-year-old daughter died in that explosion. And Bud struggled for years to overcome his grief. And at first he did that through anger and rage, and then through addiction to alcohol, and then finally through forgiveness. And Bud recalled an incident that took place shortly after the bombing, one that he suppressed for years. He saw Bill McVeigh, the father of the convicted bomber Timothy McVeigh, on TV. Here's what Bud said. He said, when he looked at the camera, I could see a deep pain in his eye. He said, I recognized his pain immediately because I'm living with that same kind of pain. And as a father, Bud understood what Bill McVeigh was experiencing. Well, like not many dads will ever experience that kind of hurt, that kind of shame that Bill McVeigh lives with every day. And even though he didn't detonate that bomb, he must feel some responsibility. He's probably asked himself, like over and over again, like, where did I go wrong? And it's true for most people that when their kids succeed, they're proud. But when their children fail, most of the time, what do? They blame themselves. And we know what the truth is. Even the best parents can have children that rebel. And so Jesus tells this story of a father who had a rebellious son. He was a good father. And yet his son made some pretty bad life choices. Actually, the father in the story is an example of our heavenly Father. And God is the perfect Father. And sometimes, as his children, we disobey him. But this story in the Gospel of Luke shows us how our heavenly Father responds to us when we sin. Man, it shows us as fathers how to respond to our kids' rebellious attitudes and actions. And honestly, most parents probably won't have to deal with kids that are as blatantly rebellious as the prodigal son. Well, like, your child's disobedience probably will pale in comparison to this. But today, on this Father's Day, I would like for us to consider how we treat our children when they disobey. Do we treat them like our Heavenly Father treats us? So go ahead and take your Bibles out. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Take your note sheets out and you can follow along with me. And we're going to see three things for us to consider as fathers dealing with our kids. Three things a father should strive to do. Number one is to build a foundation for your kids. Drop down to the first part of verse 17 in this story. I love this phrase. It says, when he came to his senses. Well, one of our jobs as fathers is to make sure that our kids have senses to come back to. In this case, he became aware that his own foolishness and sinfulness had brought him to like poverty levels. The primary characteristic of a dysfunctional family is that kids have to guess at what normal is. When a hum and life within that hum is erratic and unpredictable, they assume that that's the way it is for everyone. They assume that all parents scream at each other or are violent towards one another. They assume that all family conversations end with someone slamming a door. They assume that all dads are absent, whether it's because they just left or they work so much it seems like they're just never home. Right? They lack a solid foundation. They have to guess at what normal is because they haven't seen it. Dads, this is where you make a significant contribution. You can build for your kids a foundation that they can build on for the rest of their lives. You can make sure that they have senses to come back to. And ideally, this will happen in the environment of a mom and dad that are raising their kids together. That's the ideal. But I get it. In real life, it doesn't always happen that way. And maybe you've been through a divorce, or maybe your spouse hasn't taken on the responsibility of parenting like they should. And your situation may not be ideal, but you can still give your kids a great foundation that they need. So what does that foundation look like? Well, first of all, they need to know that they're loved. That means that you show them love. That means that you tell them that you love them. And I know men, as men, sometimes we have trouble saying that. Dennis Boyd was a defensive end for the New York Jets back in the 80s. And in his book, Rise Up and Walk, he said this, which was very interesting to me. He said every conversation that he had with his football teammates ended with, "I love you." I'm thinking if a bunch of NFL football players can say "I love you" to each other, certainly as dads we can say that to our kids, right? Secondly, they need to know that they're not alone. And when they have a problem at school or in sports or in their part-time job, they need to know that they're not facing it alone. It's not about solving their problems for them. It's about them knowing that dad has my back. But that dad is there for me. That dad will pray for me. And then thirdly, they need to know right from wrong. J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI for many years back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, once told the nation, "Send your children to Sunday school so they don't end up in reform school." Can you imagine a politician saying that today? It's a great start. But they also need to see those Sunday school values lived out at home. Kids need a foundation that they can build their lives on. It's what the prodigal son had, and it helped him find his way out of the mess that he created for himself. He was able to come to his senses because he had grown up in an environment that taught him some sense. He knew what normal was. He knew that there was a better way to live than the way he was living on his own. At some point, your child may insist on going their own way. And in that process, they may make some pretty foolish choices and mistakes. Well, like, I hope it never happens for you, but it probably will. But the foundation that you build for them will eventually help them return to their senses. Here's my encouragement for you dads who are here today. Let's treat our kids the way our Heavenly Father treats us. God has given us a foundation for living. He's revealed His love for us through His Son, Jesus. He's promised that He would never leave or forsake us. He has given us His Word to teach us right from wrong. Right? It's the same foundation that kids need. All right, the second thing as a father that we should strive to do is to give them an example of fairness. After the prodigal son comes to his senses. He says this in verses 17 through 19. He says, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So here's the thing. Here's what I'm seeing in these couple of verses. I'm seeing that we have the capacity to change. Like we don't have to remain in the pig pen. Well, we don't have to remain in the pig slop. We can become responsible for our lives. We can quit our out-of-control lifestyle. We can come home. And we can strive to live godly lives with Jesus in control. The younger brother came to his senses. The hired men on his dad's farm had enough to eat. And he's like, and I'm about to die from hunger. Here's his plan. The plan is I'll go back to dad and I'll tell him that I've sinned against him and against heaven. That's the plan. Now, side note here, how the story ties back to the beginning of the chapter and the theme of sinners, right? No longer are we using animals or objects to talk about the lost here. Now we've gotten down to the basic facts that people are lost sometimes and people need to realize their lost condition and admit it. And the younger son's first step is saying, you know what, I am a sinner. The sinful younger brother had forfeited his position as a son, and he had no longer had any claims to his father, and so he applies for a new job, the hired hand. And at the end of the day, his change of mind was not just because he was miserable. He was driven by an unrelenting memories of home. He longed to be with his father. He had forgotten much, but he had not forgotten his father's love. He reasoned that it would be better to be a lowly servant in his father's house than to remain where he was. The prodigal son realized that his father was a fair man, so he makes this decision to go home based on what he knew about his father. That he was a man of honor and character. And he knew his father would treat him at least as fairly as he did the hired guys that were on the farm there. But what if the son didn't have this example from his father to fall back on? What if he had said, I'd like to go home, but, you know, if my father treats me like he does the insurance company, making false claims all the time, I don't know about that. Or what if my dad humiliates me the way he humiliates his employees? Or what if I go home and my dad turns his back on me like I've seen him do to others time and time again? See, your kids notice how you treat others. And if you are fair and they see that, if you're unfair, they see that as well. And it can affect the way they relate to you. Also, we need to know that the prodigal son knew that his dad wasn't a pushover. Like, it didn't cross his mind to think, maybe I can go back and talk dad into some more money so I can go out and do my thing. He knew he couldn't manipulate his dad. So he doesn't even try. But he did know that he'd be treated fairly because he knew his dad was a man of honor. I remember when my kids were little and I'd take them out to the grocery store and they would always want me to buy them. You know when you go into the line, you know, and they got all the stuff, right? They put that there on purpose, right? So you got your little kid there and they always want, you know, you to buy them this toy or that toy and it was always something. And, you know, I thought the worst thing I could do after all the whining and fussing and crying is to give in and to buy that toy for them. Because I would have been teaching them that no really doesn't mean no. I would have been teaching them that you really can manipulate your way through life. And I understand that my kids would have temporarily been very happy with whatever toy I would have bought them. But the long-term effect is that they would feel less secure. And they would be more likely to try to use that same tactic over and over again. The father in this story gave his son an example of fairness. And it was an example the son could cling to, even in his darkest moments. And so if we want to be effective fathers, deal with our kids the same way your Heavenly Father deals with you. All right, the last thing this morning that we should strive to do is to be quick to show forgiveness. You know, when the prodigal son came to his senses and decided to return home, his father saw him like way down the road. And the father did something that at the time culturally was unexpected. Normally, a father would wait to be addressed in a respectful way by the son before he would respond. But the father didn't wait. It says this in verse 20 through 24. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And when the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slave, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and now he has come to life again. He was lost, and he has been found." And they began to celebrate. So let me ask you a question, dads. Like, what do you do when your children repent? Do you fold your arms and do you say, "You know what, you need to prove that you mean business"? Did you remind them of all the mistakes that they've made? See, in verse 20, we see what this father did as the focus shifts from the son to the father. The son's on the move. The father is standing there waiting to see his son. And it's certainly not a given that a sinner will repent. But there he was. The son had returned. What joy and what love the father had. What tender compassion filled his heart. And then here's what happened. The old legs of the father starts churning. His arms stretched out. His lips ready for a kiss. The family feud was over and forgotten. A son was home. Side note here, the son probably didn't even get to finish his speech that I'm sure he had rehearsed, his plea for repentance. And before he could get much of it out, the father interrupts him and grants forgiveness. And it's a great picture of God's eagerness to forgive us. Without a single word of rebuke for the past, the father pours out his love on the son. He expresses his joy that what was lost has now been found. In verses 22 and 23, each of the father's gifts said something unique about his acceptance of the son. The robe, for example, reserved for a guest of honor. The ring, a symbol of authority. The sandals weren't usually worn by slaves. It tells us that this son had been fully restored. The fatted calf, reserved only for the most special of occasions. A sacrifice or a feast of great celebration. And you might be thinking, like, how could a father act like this? Did he not know what the son had done? Of course he did. But the son had been lost, and now he was found. The lost sheep is back. And certainly a lost and found son is worth much more than a coin or a sheep. And it's time to celebrate. Well, what a picture of our Father in heaven. How he does celebrate when the lost are found, when sinners repent. What compassion and love does he show? Because he loves them and he waits patiently for them to return and repent so the celebration can begin. So my prayer for us, dads, is that when our kids repent, when they say that they're sorry and they're willing to change their behavior, that we allow them to bury the past. That we won't bring up their faults and their mistakes. that we will deal with them as our Heavenly Father deals with us. And according to the Bible, He forgives and forgets. Isaiah 38, 17. Lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness. It is You who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness, for You have cast all my sins behind Your back. Micah 7, 19. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. And yes, You will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Dads, here's the reality. Our kids will probably make some mistakes in their lives. Some big mistakes and some not so big. But if you've given them a solid foundation, they'll eventually come to their senses. And when they do, forgive them. Celebrate with them. Bury their sins in the past and then do this. Throw away the shovel. Don't make your kids wait for your forgiveness. Forgive them immediately and totally. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your word today. Father, I ask that You would bless the fathers that are here today with wisdom and with discernment. In Psalm 3, it says that wisdom is a gift far greater than gold. And so I pray this morning that such a gift would be given to the fathers in our church today. Help them to grow in learning to know and to understand and to discern Your voice. And Father, guide them in the decisions that they make that affect not only their lives, God, but the lives of those around them. Father, my prayer is that You would mature them in their faith in order that they may encourage those around them to trust and to come to know You more.